Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to MV Talk Radio's broadcast of March 4th, 2015. My name is Mike McCoy, and Deanna Reeder will be joining us shortly to discuss the state of civic affairs in Moreno Valley, California. You can follow our podcast by going to our internet site at blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, enter MV City Talk and navigate to our show or to any archive show from the past. You are welcome to phone in and be on the show at 946-929-0610. Then follow the instructions given by the automated operator or email Deanna for help. You may email Deanna or either of us at any time at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com, and Deanna will do her best to respond to your questions or put you on the show. Thank you all for listening in. Now let's get started. Welcome, listeners. Co-host Deanna is here, and David Marquez is going to be our guest this evening. So we're about ready to get started. David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Tell us a little about yourself, like when you give your introduction, like at the council meeting.
Okay, my name's Dave Marquez. I've been a resident of Moreno Valley since 1983. I am currently involved in volunteering for Unified School District, Badger Springs. I'm also a volunteer for the Feed the Homeless Vets on March Air Force Base. Also, I am an active member of the VFW in Moreno Valley, also the American Legion in Moreno Valley.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
We're going to have more from you later in the meeting. Our listeners will be interested to know your outlook on what happened last night at the study session when we talk about all the blight-related topics. For right now, though, let's go to Deanna. And Deanna had a couple items to report back to us on, especially the ongoing Planning Commission interview. Deanna?
Okay. There was a couple of meetings this week on there were Planning Commission interviews, and what I'm going to do is Marquez is on the line with us. Static with you. And you're not actually talking to a mute phone so that static doesn't go through. You're not going to be disconnected, okay? So just a second,
okay.
And I'll be on. On Saturday, there was an all-day meeting for planning commissioner interviews, and they have taken the finalists from those planning commission interviews, and today I was notified that there is a special meeting tomorrow to interview the finalists for planning commissioners. And there is also a special closed session tomorrow that will discuss personnel, employee negotiations, you know, the union stuff. And so I would like to put my two cents in there. Briefly, because you participated, how did you feel that your interview went yesterday, or Saturday, actually, David?
I felt very comfortable. I felt that the answers that I gave were honest answers. I didn't really like the questions about the east side of town. Instead of just coming out and asking bluntly, about the building of the east side, they kind of beat around the bush. And my answers were basically the same thing. I didn't come out directly against it or for it, but I felt that they used this against not only myself, but the other applicants that didn't make the final cut because we weren't 100% for the WLC project. So that's my personal feeling. I spoke to several other people. And by the way, I have yet to be notified if I made the cut or not from City Hall.
I can actually answer that question. You did not, because they already posted the finalists.
Okay.
But it would have polite of them to have told you and not found out this way. That was kind of rude.
In the media.
That is kind of Thursday.
They actually didn't.
That's where we left.
I assumed that they would have told you, that they would have told everyone, you know, you're a finalist, you're not. I mean, that's just polite.
I have not received a phone call, an email, anything from the city clerk's office in relation to the nine applicants that are going one step further. I felt that that's impolite. And again, we get back to transparency. They do what they want to do. And basically, is the people don't have a choice.
That's
they
true.
They pick who they want. They pick who
okay,
they want.
Okay, now we're going to go on to some of the stuff for the meeting, and then we want your input on blight-related topics, the throwing out of trash, and the cleaning up of Marina Valley. So let's go through a couple other things, and then we'll get to that.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Deanna. That's a great idea. And thank you for what you've given us so far, David. And we're looking forward to the rest on the blight-related topics. But last night, Deanna, what did you think about the number of speakers that came to the mic in favor of the World Logistics Center?
Well, you know, Benzivi is, for him, getting people to come to these meetings, you know, no matter what he has or how much it costs him or, you know, how many breakfasts or lunches or dinners or turkeys or whatever else he has to give away, he is going to do what he has to do to get people there to talk about his project, because he is hoping that the more people that talk about his project, the more likely that it is to get approved. And what I found interesting was a couple of the big said they had been looking for, but in English, because they had to have a translator, and so they were complaining about not being
almost all of this because somewhere, perhaps at David's location, there are other speakers or electronic equipment that he needs
I'm
to move
mute
away from.
Again, until we get to the point.
Okay, I'm still here.
Okay, he's just making sure that he's getting all his ducks in a row, no matter what it costs him, to get, you know, pro WLC people there. And even though they don't have any facts, they don't have any good information, you know, all they can say is jobs now, and they don't understand why anybody's against it. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, we have a lot more speakers there at the meeting that are anti-warehouse. In fact, next council meeting, I'm going to speak, and I have a strategy in my little speech I'm making up. I think it's going to nail down those people and how they're being duped by Benzivi. I'll explain more to you later, Deanna, off the air.
Okay.
Then, Scott and Yvonne Redmond did some very effective speeches. Did you hear those?
I did. Yes, I was at home, Mike, at the meeting. I watched the meeting for about, 2.5 hours last night, and then I tried to finish it today. So I finished as much as actually recorded, but apparently it didn't record the last little bit. But I think I got most of it. So I definitely got the beginning comments. And Susan Billinger also spoke, and she did a very good job. In fact, I sent her a text, you know, while she was at the meeting telling her that. And so we do have some very articulate people, and that's good, but we actually need more, and we need more people to come up with more facts, because these people that are coming up, it's like someone's given them this, you know, wine and roses little spiel, and they have no idea. I don't think they really know what the truth is. And that's really too...
Yeah, for example, you know, like the Mr. Benzivi cannot determine how many people a warehouse is going to hire and for how long. He has no power over that, but they never think of that when they make their speeches.
That's true.
Well, Carrie McDuff came up with a column in the Press Enterprise over the weekend, and she really blasted in the Moreno Valley City Council. And I don't know if you saw it, Deanna or David, but she basically said, just to sum it up, that by the council getting involved in personnel matters was a very bad precedent, probably in violation of the law, and it means nothing but trouble in the future for the city by doing that.
Well, like I said, you know, to the reporter, the city has learned nothing, and that was pretty much what she said in her column, was that the city has learned nothing. You know, $1.6 million, and they still haven't learned.
And they complain about being sued. Well, they're going to be sued some more, I'm sure. They're asking for it. In fact, Mr. Gutierrez said the other day that Emeryville had a case law matter, and I said to myself, well, you know, if they had a case law, it means they were sued. So it's going to happen again. So it's very obvious that not to them. Now we're going to go ahead and go into the main items that were on the agenda of the study session. That was blight-related topics. And they dealt mainly with the landscaping of the reverse frontages, fence replacement, waste, donation boxes, cars parked out there, yard sales, and other quality of life issues, and how to pay for them. So, David, I'm going to let you take over on this one. And you have a long time here. You have about 10 to 15 minutes. Why don't you go ahead and hit the highlights for our listeners.
Hey, did you, instead of us, when I unmute, did you hear what we were saying? Dave?
I'm sorry, we're having technical difficulties with our guest tonight. His location, perhaps.
Dave, can you hear us? You know what? We're getting an awful lot of static. I'm not sure if he can still hear us. I know he's still on the line. It still shows that his call is still on.
You can mute me for 10 minutes. I'll be all right. Maybe that'll improve it.
It won't. I'm pretty sure it's his phone. Television. I'm going to mute him again, and then I'm going to, you know, tell what I saw of the meeting, and then we'll see if his phone is a little bit better.
Okay.
But last night,
I have some stuff too, but go ahead.
About the absence of arterial landscaping, and because when the city was in county area before it was a incorporated city, the county is the entity that approved all the developments. And when the county approved them, they didn't condition any landscaping in a lot of places. The things that cities normally do to make sure that it looks good, the county didn't do because it was not in any particular city. So it, you know, it was not important to them. And so we have a lot of development that does not have any landscaping. And they've had residents that have said, you know what, this doesn't look good. It's dirt, it's weeds, it collects trash, people dump on it because it's just barren dirt, what to do about it, how
and
to
also
take
there was a, it. There was a related issue with fence replacement among many of those same arterials.
Exactly. They want to know if people would like landscaping, but of course they would have to agree to pay for it. If they have fences that are down, especially in arterial streets where it's very visible, you know, along, say, Cottonwood, Alessandro,
mm-hmm.
Some of these bigger streets, there is a lot of fencing that is dilapidated. And they were considering loaning money to some of these property owners to fix the fence. They haven't quite decided on how to fund it exactly yet, but they want to know if the city wants to move forward with doing that.
I found, Deanna, that during the discussion, they looked at many people's views, and they had surveys they reported on, And there is a marginally significant number of people that would like to move forward with some improvements, but it's going to be a tough sell, and it requires a two-thirds vote if any tax increase is involved. After all the discussion on the arterial landscaping and the fences, I could detect no direction to staff, I don't know if you did, on how to proceed on this matter. So I think there's nothing more we can say. We can go on to some other topics here.
Well, I think that what they basically were doing was ask the city council what their thoughts were on it and whether they should pursue getting more information, because they actually sent out surveys to homeowners to ask them what they thought, and they got back a low percent, but that is not abnormal, especially for an eval. A low percent of return is very typical.
Yes, I agree.
Now, the donation boxes.
Well, there was a lot of discussion on that and how it's maybe been mishandled by some or not maintained or looked at by code compliance, and it's become a nuisance. What did you detect as any direction for the city to do on those donation boxes? And what are they exactly, Deanna?
I don't know if you would have seen them or not, but when I was working on the recall and we were at the corner of Frederick and Cottonwood, it's now what 99-cent store, but before that it was supposed to have been Fresh and Easy. It was,
Fresh and Easy, yeah.
Right, it was built to be a Fresh and Easy, but it just never opened. There was two different of those donation boxes there. They're the ones that are typically businesses. And the city council was saying that a lot of people use that to just dump anything that they have. And the truth is, most of the stuff that I saw people dropping off was, of course, handed mostly on the weekends. I did most of the manning on the weekends. But, people were dropping off things in addition to clothing, which would have fit in there. I mean, the expensive include dog houses. They're like, oh, someone dropped one of those off. I'm thinking, darn, that would be too bad if it didn't fit in my car.
There were other abuses.
Someone that could
abuse the boxes.
So it could have been for me. Someone that could use that. And I mean, that was.
Deanna, I'm going to have to drop out of this because I can barely hear you, and all I hear is like a TV sets on somewhere or something.
I tell you what,
I can't hear you or David. So.
I'm still here. Right, I can hear you both. I can still hear you.
Okay, David, are you there?
Deanna. Yes, I am. Can you hear me, Deanna?
I can hear you now.
And I
can
too.
Okay, I can both hear you. I can hear you both.
All right.
And you're away from the interference.
I will, why don't you give us your input about the meeting and these things and some of the things you've encountered that have contributed to the blight in Moreno Valley, one of their topics last night?
Well, first of all, I'd like to inform the residents, citizens of Moreno Valley, that this effort to clean up the trash in Moreno Valley is going to be a resident citizen type of program. We cannot count on staff or the city council to help us in any way to clean this up. The reason I say this is this: code enforcement is overwhelmed of what they have now or what their duties are now. Their hands are tied to hire any more employees because of our budget cuts. They do not and will not hire temp people to go out and do the jobs cleaning up the city. Keep on relying on volunteers. Now, the biggest problem with that is if you're going to have volunteers go out and clean up the trash, you need to have a program in place to do that. In other words, you need to be transparent. You need to let the citizens know the activities, what's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. The city doesn't have this. They have no clue how to do this. Again, code enforcement does not have enough personnel to go out and enforce the problem that we're encountering now. Trash, mattresses. This is going to continue, and it's going to get worse. I have seen in the last 2 years the trash in the east end of town. Now, Mr. Banzivi would love to have his World Logistics Center built out there. Do you think anyone's going to want to come and move out here and bring their business if they have an area that is full of trash, mattresses, homeless people living out there? I don't think so. So why doesn't Mr. Banzivi have anything in mind? All he worries about is having barbecues and dinners and whatever so people can go to the city council and say, well, what a great project he has. This is the pros. Where's the cons, Mr. Manzini, along with the rest of the city? So the problem here is, Diana and Mike, is not only the trash. It is to get everyone involved. And how do we do that? How do we do that? I don't have the answer.
Let me ask you a question. Because there was an issue that was brought up, and this might be something that the city's really been pathetic on letting the residents know. People have seen mattresses dropped off, couches dropped off. The city actually contracts with Waste Management to pick up one large item every week. So, say you had a mattress and a couch. You can put out the couch this week, but you have to call Waste Management and tell them. They do not pick it up unless you actually call them. And the next week you can put out the mattress. You can put out something once a week, or if you can put out up to four large items at once.
Once a month.
Once a month. For example, you could put out the couch and two or three mattresses.
How many?
You can put out the couch and the chair and a refrigerator and a mattress. Four large items a month is what you can put out. And I don't think that those mattresses are coming from another city and they're dumping them here in Moreno Valley. It's people in Moreno Valley doing it. So why are the people in Moreno Valley doing it when they can get them picked up for free? And that's because they don't know that.
Exactly. Exactly. How do you get the message out to the residents, citizens of Moreno Valley?
Well, you know what? When they did everybody to that WLC meeting, how many, what did they say they got there, 1,000 or something? So when they want people to show up and they want to get the message out, they do it. The problem is just not that important to them, apparently.
Yeah, it'll be important when people start saying, we're not going to that trashy city. There's too much trash. They don't care about their city. Now, I could say this. When I met with a staff member from the city hall, we spoke about this March 21st cleanup. The bulk items, people can come out and drop off at the parking lot, in the parking lot of Moreno Valley, Valley View High School in Moreno Valley. Now, how many people are going to know that? The city will not advertise it other than word of mouth or flyers. The city will not allow us to put out any posters on street corners, hanging fence, because it's against city ordinance, and we can't not do it. So how do we get it across to the people? March 21st at 8 p.m., we will start taking large items, dumped off, dropped
Wait a
off
minute.
At
8
Valley
Is that 8 in the morning or 8 at night,
No, I'm sorry. That is 8 in the morning
to
12 p.m. in the afternoon.
Okay.
You have to have an ID showing that you're a resident of Moreno Valley, or we will not, or Waste Management will not accept the items. That's very important because other people from other cities will have trash that the city won't pick up, and they'll come to Moreno Valley. That's why they require a valid resident ID, present ID. Secondly, we have a group of volunteers that Saturday will be picking up trash walking down. So far, it'll be Mason, Eucalyptus, and the surrounding area. We'll be picking up trash off the islands, off the easements, off the city property. We cannot go onto private property. So our volunteers will be picking up trash. If anyone out there wants to volunteer, please, please contact Judy Reyes at City Hall, or you can call me. And my phone number, cell phone number is 951-378-1912. So call me if you need any information. We'll be happy to have you join us on March 21st. And that's a Saturday.
Okay.
We, the citizens of Moreno Valley, have to make that first step to clean up our city. We cannot no longer sit down and look at and wait for the city of Moreno Valley staff, government, to help us. It's not going to get picked up. Trash ain't going to be picked up by itself.
That sounds about right. We don't have a lot of time left, so let me, I want to speak just a little bit about the city council meeting for next week. There are a few things on the agenda that there's the best quarterly report. Some people read, most people don't, but tend to look at it from time to time just so I know how much money. End of the meeting, there is a project that was appealed. The applicant actually changed the project to satisfy the people that appealed it. So now it looks like everybody's happy with it from what I can see. And so they are looking at approving that. There is another contract for more software for this, for another $1.3 million. If I remember correctly, they just spent about $2 million. The city is adopting an ordinance to have one or two alternate planning commission members for when another member is absent, so that have a full planning commission. They are going to amend the municipal code to the powers and duties of the city manager to make sure that the city council can take that power for themselves. The ordinance for establishing the residential property foreclosure program so that he charged. The only thing absent from the ordinance is what exactly the fee is. There are several items in closed session for after. All right, do either of you, we have about a minute, a little over a minute left, so do either of you have any last comments you'd like to make to our listeners?
This is Dave. What I want to say is I want as many people to come out and speak at the city council meeting against our World Logistics Center that the city is trying to push. I want as many people as we can to come out and talk at the city council. It doesn't have to be the whole 3 minutes. You can come out and speak for 30 seconds. As long as we can show our force that there are people out here that are against the project.
We need to do a better job of the opposition showing up, or we're going to get buried.
Exactly.
Mike, any closing thoughts?
You can hear me?
I can hear
yes,
you.
Yes, you can, Mike. I can hear you.
I didn't know if I was muted off, but no, I don't have anything further at this point, and I encourage everybody to attend the meeting next Tuesday and speak out like David suggested. I know you'll be there, Deanna, and you'll usually say something really good. So I'm done for tonight, everybody. So good night.
Thank you for listening, and we want to say good night, Moreno Valley.
And thank
Good
you,
night,
David.
Good night, Moreno Valley. Thank you. Good night, Moreno
All right.
Valley.
On here,
okay.
Dave. We appreciated it. All right.